Like, what do you mean you're not going to go join that WNBA team? I think you'd be the best three-point shooter on the planet. It doesn't matter that you've never touched a basketball. Like, we really believe that shit. We amp each other up. Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grushka. And today, Bean, we have a very sweet topic to discuss. It's the power of female friendships. Are you ready?
Heart eyes. Let's do it.
Hi, Bean.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have a Werther's original in my mouth.
I was going to ask what that was.
Do you remember Werther's originals?
Yeah. You won't believe who loves them. Layla.
What, your bubby.
No, my bubby too, but Layla.
Oh.
Since she was little, best friend. My middle daughter loves Werther's since she was like teeny tiny.
They're so rich.
They are
and
decadent.
Layered and decadent and like buttery. And it's just, I bought a bag and put them on my desk. And so now I'm sorry if I sound like a cow munching on salt.
Wow. Wow, I love that. And maybe that's why we're best friends, because I love cows.
Oh, interesting.
Anyway, I thought today was going to be super fun because we're best buds. You know what I mean?
You're really in your best bud phase right now. She keeps calling me best bud on text messages.
That's right.
I had to confront you about it recently.
I don't understand what's wrong with bud. I feel like it's almost even more endearing.
You call your son when you're a baseball coach or something.
No, that's buddy. Champ. Hey, champ.
Oh. Right? See, champ and bud for me
are
live
the same
realm.
But what if you're my best bud?
I'm your best champ. Just call me your best champ from now on.
I feel like best friend isn't warm enough.
That's why we say bean.
Okay, fine. This is an episode about being best beans. Do you have a cringe or delight, my bestest bean?
A cringe or delight. I have a broad cringe. Last week, we didn't have the kids around. And I realized that I'm addicted to the chaos that comes with like being busy at work and then busy with the kids. And like, I complain about it, which is the cringy part, I think, that it's like, I never have a minute. I don't have, like, right. I'm driving. I'm an Uber. Dude, I got so bored.
You got bored.
Yeah, and then TJ got sad because I said I was bored. And I was like, I didn't say I was bored with you. I just said that I'm a little bored, that I don't have, like, it felt like purposeless after work.
That's like a glimpse into our next phase of life.
That is the cringe part, is that my little empty nester heart was starting to, like, freak out. And then I was like, calm down. We still have some time. But I definitely got a taste of it, and it tasted like boredom.
Oh, no. But really, the reality is you couldn't introduce like a new hobby or anything because they were coming back. But when you are truly bored, you can introduce a new hobby.
Like what? Pickleball?
Sure. Or knitting or...
Knitting? The fuck?
Baking? I don't know. You could do stuff. Think about all the freedom. I'm kidding. I'm going to be like a crying in my bed all day when my kids leave.
You and I are just going to be drinking martinis somewhere.
That sounds amazing.
That's our goal. All right. What about you? You got cringe? Delight?
I have a delight. It's not really that delightful for anyone but me and my family, but I'm sharing it anyway because the feeling of it was so delightful. I finally have been thinking about this for years, and we sent out DNA tests on both of my dogs and got them back, and it was shocking.
Are they mix mutts?
Yeah. They're like huge mutts. The two of them are huge mutts, but I don't know. You've seen my dogs. Do you want to, can you guess what Amelia's top breed is? It's only 20%.
Amelia is a terrier of some kind.
You would think.
Yeah.
Chihuahua.
Oh, yeah.
You see it? Uh-huh. I don't even see it.
Her face is giving Chihuahua.
No, her constant barking is giving Chihuahua.
True that. Also, the attitude is a little Chihuahua. She's got a little bitchy ass Chihuahua attitude. No offense, Chihuahua owners.
Yeah, but she's like real sweet. Anyway, and then my other Rosie Pose, who was I thought was going to be like mostly Shepherd, is mostly Pitbull.
Ooh, sexy.
Sexy. She's like the nicest dog, but it was really fun getting the results. Like, I told Evie in the morning, and then she was like, don't tell her siblings. She was like, let me tell them. It was like a real moment of excitement. It was like finding out like what the gender of my baby was going to be.
Well, this explains why Rosie walks around shouting Mr. World Wild all the time.
Wait, when Remy was like, what's a pit bull? And I Googled it and Mr. Worldwide came up. I was like, that's silly.
Well, I'm going to start calling Rosie Mr. Worldwide.
And she's like the nicest little sweet thing.
I love it. That's actually really cute. I'm very happy for you all that you have.
For my gender reveal?
That data.
Thank you.
Your gender reveal.
Wait, and also on the website, they tell you like if there's a close relative that has also been on the website. And Amelia, one of them, has a really close relative. I might reach out. Be like, hey, our dogs are related.
No, thank you. Please don't do that.
That's why it's there, because people want to know.
So that they can be reunited?
I don't know. What if they live close? And we could be like, hey, you want to get these siblings together?
Don't do weird dog owner stuff. Just be a normal dog owner.
I am weird, okay?
Well, anyway. You are delighted. It makes me happy to see that you're smiling so thank much you. Over this.
It was a true joy. When it popped up in my email box, I was like, this is going to be a good time. So sad.
I thought you were going to say you did it on yourself. I was like, I can pretty much tell you what's in your DNA.
Oh, but I still want to do it. I mean, I'm all Russian.
It would be interesting. Plus, so you're Russian and Polish?
I'm all Russian and Polish.
Wow.
Really Eastern European through and through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know everything you are?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Do you want to say it?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
I'm 68% Persian.
Yeah, you are.
And there was a really cool little asterisk that, like, it was like, read at the bottom. And it was like, this is a really high percentage of Persian. And it's rare to find such a high percentage of Persian that doesn't have any Arab DNA. So, like, Persian, not Arab.
Like Persia.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is a very point, you know, you ask any Persian, that's real important.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
I had that. I had Turkish. Ooh, and then, you know this, 7% Namibian from Africa.
Oh, that's wild. That's super
but it's
wild.
Not. You know, I've really gone down this rabbit hole of Afro-Persians. It's been so amazing. There's a whole Instagram. And I was like, oh my God, I feel so seen. Like, wait, yeah. Because I used to go, when I go to Iran, the African comes from my dad's side of the family, who I'm not that close to. But my mom's side of the family is like very white Persian, like Turkish and lighter skin tones. And I was little and they'd always be like, why are you so dark? And now
so
I'm like,
because
I'm Afro-Persian. Afro. I love them. But
Afro-Persian is like the sexiest thing I've ever heard.
Was
right?
You want to like,
yeah, 100%. Like this. Mm-hmm. Wow. Afro-Persian. That's way better. Mine's so boring. I think I'm 75 Russian and 25 Polish. I couldn't be more boring.
This is why you love vodka so much.
It's so white and potatoes.
On that note,
isn't it fun that we're best friends?
Oh, is this I have to answer this honestly.
Yeah. Isn't it
yes,
fun?
Yes, Melissa, it is the most fun.
Well, I'm going to break down the fourth wall, which you always hate that I do, but we're filming this in March, even though it comes out in April.
Oh,
and
God.
It's Women's History Month. That's why I'm saying it, because it's Women's History Month. So I thought that would be a really fun time to do it. Plus, we're best friends, and this whole podcast is about us being friends.
You could have said, last month was Women's History Month, but you don't like to lie. And I really love that about you, which is why part of the reason you're my best friend.
Oh, see? I also thought we could start with a quick – maybe we've shared it. Have we talked about how we met?
Yes.
Oh,
but
well, then
why don't you do a quick recap?
I'm going to do a really quick synopsis. I'm starting at this job. It's maybe my second job out of college. What number is it for you?
First.
It is first?
No, second. Sorry. The first one was really weird. The second.
My first one was really weird. Anyway, it's my second job. I had lost my first job because the company closed because the long story short, the woman spent all of the money we fundraised on plastic surgery and then had no money to pay us. Anyway, so I was like, shit, I got to get a new job. And then I got this job and I walked in and I was like, meh, this will be all right. And then everybody was sort of like, meh. And then Maury walked in and I was like, hells yeah, this is going to be fun. So I immediately walked up to her and was like, we're going to be friends. And Maury was like, I don't know who you are and why you're talking to me, basically.
You did not say we're going to be friends. You said we used to work in the entertainment industry and we'd go to a lot of film openings. And you said, will you be my date tonight to the Finding Nemo premiere?
It wasn't Finding Nemo. You always say that. It was not Finding Nemo. I don't know what it was, but it was not Finding Nemo. But in my head, I said, she's going to be my friend. And I walked up and I said, hey, do you want to go
be my date?
And Maury, whose sister had just come out, like within the past few months, I feel like.
Yeah. And it was like a whole traumatic story. Read the book.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're very proud of her now.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot. It was a lot. So she was like, who's this Les trying to hit on me? And I was like, this girl's going to get it. I can tell. But this girl didn't get it. But then once you got it, you got it.
I got it. And then I was hooked.
And then you were hooked. And it was, we used to have, this was back in the day, we would go to Chipotle sometimes for lunch. And this is when Chipotle had margaritas.
They still do.
Oh, nope. Not up in these parts.
Oh.
They still have them?
They still do in California. Hell to the yes.
And I don't know if we were just like in our young 20s or they really were really good margaritas.
I think they were pretty good.
Yeah, I do too.
We'd have them at lunch and go back to work.
Have a fucking burrito and a marg and go back and watch General Hospital, which was our job.
That was the best.
It was the best.
It's okay that we worked in the shadiest company ever. It was so fun.
It was so fun. We had the most fun. Anyway, that's how we met, and that's how this female friendship is. And I think it's really important because I happen to be going through a lot in my life at the moment, but I've always had a lot of really great friends. But I have to say, I feel the most centered right now because of my friendships. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so palpably powerful, that I couldn't imagine not having that type of support. It's a very different kind of support that you get outside, and not dissing men's friendships, but like, I guess kind of dissing men's friendships. And I'm going to tell you why. This is going to be a lot. I know you don't like this, but I have so many great stats. So I'm going to do a lot of
the lab coat.
I'm going to do a lot of reading. There's so many really interesting statistics. Not only does it feel really good, it like truly emotion. There's studies on the power of female friendship that I think you deserve to know about as my best bean bud.
Wow. Okay. I can't wait. And you know, I will say, as someone who has not always cultivated a ton of female friendship, I'm learning in my 40s how important it is to have these relationships in your life because they make such a big impact on your well-being. So I'm anticipating a lot of information about like how it really helps mind, body, and soul to have these connections as women.
And I think we talk so much about like our marriages and being mothers, and we don't like often talk about like how, well, me personally, how much I invest as a friend. So I'm going to tell you a couple great physical benefits. You ready?
Yeah.
A Harvard study of adult development found that people with strong friendships live longer and experience less cognitive decline.
Mm-hmm.
So while we're drinking our martinis as empty nesters and older, we're going to be like killing the game with the crosswords. Yeah, we're going to be like
Sudoku all day.
All day, slay the day away.
Why is that, does the study say?
No, don't ask me. Don't
Sorry.
Make me
okay.
But after I say it. There's so many more things. Here, you want something specific? I'll give you specific.
You know I need specifics.
Women release, get ready for this, oxytocin, which we know is the thing we release during exercise, during childbirth, during breastfeeding. It's the hormone we release. It's our happy hormone during deep conversations with female friends. Is that adorable? You could either be breastfeeding your baby or having a lovely convo with your good friend.
And they both yield the same happy
result, which then lowers your cortisol, which makes you calmer. Your cortisol is your stress hormone. I know. Don't you think about it? Like after having a really good, deep convo with somebody, you're like, with somebody you care about, you're like,
Yeah, totally. It's like you just like unburdened yourself energetically.
100%. Here's another one. A 2016 study published in the Journal of the American Heart Association found that women with strong social support had a 50% higher survival rate after cardiac events. 50%. I love when you support my stats with a sound.
With a good guttural sound.
50%. They're 50% more likely to survive if they have like good friends.
Yeah.
How fucking rad is that?
It's so cool. And it's, I think like so indicative of like what we need as human beings to be able to thrive is community. And I think that when women create community, it's such an intense bond because it's so deep. So it creates this like healing mechanism.
I'm curious though now why women can create this level. Like why are there all these stats on the benefits of female friendship versus male friendship? Do they have the ability and they just don't go there, or they don't even have the ability to go to the levels we do?
I think TJ clued us in on this a lot when we talked to him about healthy masculinity, and he He mentioned, you know, he talks about this a lot, like his own friendships and how hard he has to strive to make them deep.
Right.
Because men are so conditioned to be okay and everything is great. And I'm going to talk to you about how I've succeeded or how fast I skied or how much I lifted. Like that sometimes male friendships can be at a, you know, more surface level. And inviting in deep conversation, how did you feel? I'm really sad. I'm going through grief. I'm devastated, is not always accepted. And it creates an isolation epidemic in men, especially in young men, because they don't have those kinds of outlets with one another because they're not encouraged to go to that level of depth where we women naturally do that. And it's not frowned upon. Like we're not laughed at. We're actually made fun of for how deep we can go, but it's encouraged and it's discouraged with men.
I wonder though if they'd have the same physiological responses that we have. You think cortisol?
Yeah, because I think that this is, like I said, I think that this goes back to just like us as a species requiring community to survive. Like, you know, we've talked about this, but when you lived in a tribe, you had to make sure that you were connected to the people in that tribe. Because if you got left behind somehow or kicked out from that tribe, you were dead. Like you could not really survive on your own. So it's a real fundamental part of our need. It's belonging. It's a key psychological need that we have as humans.
Well, I'm honored to be in your tribe.
I'm so honored to be in your tribe.
Oh, my next tip is actually about men. So men tend to respond to stress with fight or flight, which we all know. And women are actually biologically wired. This speaks to my point, if men are even biologically wired, which I don't think they are, to what they call tend and befriend. So when we're stressed, we seek out social bonds as a way of de-stressing. Like we actually are wired to look for it. So like I'm stressed. I'm like, I gotta call Maury. I gotta call her. I need that. And then I do talk to you and I'm like, why don't I do that more? Yeah. I often don't call you is the truth. I'm always like, I don't want to bother her. But it's wrong because every time I do, I'm like, oh shit, I needed that. And she knows I'm upset. So she needed that.
I'll text you and be like, yo, what's going on over there?
Yes. For those who don't know, Bean and I are so in tune that we can both sense when the other one is hurting, even if we are completely not clued into it. We are that in tune with each other.
Today, before we recorded, I literally only used the word bean as noun, adjective, verb, adverb. I was like, bean, something is beaning with you and I'm like beaning it. And I just really like, I don't know how to bean when you're beaning. And you were like, totally, here's what's happening.
No, I literally said, I didn't know you knew. Anyway, back so to my
tend,
stats.
Tend and what is it? Befriend and
tend. And befriend. Befriend. Tend and befriend. Like we naturally want to care for one another and we seek the care of other women who are safe to us.
Yeah.
I think that's really beautiful. And I think men are wired with fight or flight.
Right.
That's what I think. I can't. So don't quote me on it.
So we go to tend and befriend instead of fight or flight. Oh, I love that. What a resilient way. You think this has to, like, women also have longer lifespans. I wonder if this is a part of that.
It's much less rattling for your nervous system, I'd imagine, than fight or flight, than instantly going into fight or flight.
Yeah.
Being like, I need support.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what it's about. It's about reaching out for support.
Right.
And we have permission to do that.
We do.
And listen, if you're listening and you don't reach out for support, let this be your reminder that it is essential, that you are not meant to navigate anything alone. I'm not saying you're not empowered to get through anything because you sure as fuck can. I promise you that. But you're not meant to just be out to sea by yourself. So if right now you're struggling with anything, think of someone that you feel you're most yourself with, you're safest with, and reach out to them. I guarantee just a conversation with them is going to make you feel buoyed and remind you of your resilience.
And I think, you know, a lot of people are like, they are going to be bothered. The people who truly care about you and love you don't see it as a bother. They want to support you in that way. Like if you're sad, I want to be here for you.
Well, that's genuinely the purpose of friendship to me. Like when people are like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I'm crying. I'm like, this is the whole point. The point is not always to go kiki and have cocktails and laugh. Like I love that, but it doesn't have depth to it unless we can lean on each other.
Exactly. Lean on me. We used to sing every time. You're not strong.
Okay. I wonder why we stopped singing. It's a real pressure.
Emotional and psychological benefits. Lower rates of depression and anxiety. A study in JAMA Psychiatry found that social connection was the strongest protective factor against depression in women. Mm. The strongest. Mm, there it is again. Mm. You don't it's find so that real. Like incredible?
No, that's it's so just, real.
It's so beautiful. Like yeah. That's what stops us from being depressed is like we are surrounded by women who empower us and make us feel supported and loved.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So right? Powerful. Yeah.
I know. Rock on, right? Another study from University of California, hey, found that women who have strong female friendships report higher levels of confidence and life satisfaction. Like yes. There is no reason not to have good female friends. Nothing yes. I'm saying points you in the wrong direction.
Yes. Confidence because we really do cheerlead each other. Like we really are, you know, when you're connected like that, it's like, I think you could do anything.
I think you
like,
could do anything.
What do you mean you're not going to go join that WNBA right. team? I think right. you'd be the best 3-point shooter on the planet. Would. It doesn't matter that you've never touched a basketball. Like we really believe that shit. We amp each other up hardcore.
And I do have some other friends. I know you don't like it. Who I also, there's actually this crew I hang with and we just like call each other the hype girls. When we hang out, we just like go around and talk and the other two, whatever the other two are who are talking, are like, yes, you can do that. You're amazing. Everything the other one says, we That's all just so like hype. Needed. It's so
Why
beautiful.
Wouldn't I like that for you? I because, love that for you.
No, because you get jealous when I have other friends and I get jealous of you.
I don't know. I feel like that's an outdated thing you got going on.
We make jokes about it all.
We make jokes about it, but in reality, I feel like you get hyped by people all the time. Okay.
Don't make me.
I'll be jealous. God damn those women for talking to my bean.
And these friendships provide mirroring, which helps us see ourselves better. It's like another opportunity to look, take a look inward, which you can't always do because your friends are saying to you, this is what you've got going on. This is your strong suit is this.
Yeah. This is the thing. I know we should make a drinking game out of how many times I say higher self on this podcast. # higher self, buy the book anywhere you buy books. But I will tell you that I think that the thing about our friendship that's been the most like life-changing for me is that you literally always see me as my higher self. And so when I'm like janking around with like limiting beliefs and sad and I can't do it, you're like, Bean, what the fuck? This is who you are. This is who you are, really. And it's like a reminder. It holds up a mirror of my truth, which is my higher self.
I feel like everybody sees you like that because you're a goddamn badass.
But that's not true. And that's what like close friendships do. Mm. It's like you see the other person in their higher self. And it's so critical. It's so critical to remind you of who you are, to surround yourself with people who see your truth.
Totally.
And can reflect it back to you when you're scared or anxious or stressed out or burnt out or whatever it might be.
Totally. Gratitude. Studies show that women self-disclose more in friendships than men. That's sad. You know what? I'm having a sad moment for men right now. I feel like so many men really deserve to have that, TJ included, because he's
warned us. He said that they don't have friendships like this that often. But he's trying to cultivate them. We need more men like TJ who are aware that they've got to cultivate this kind of depth with each other.
Yeah, these men need to create safer spaces. We create such safety for one another, I feel like. Yeah. Like this is a no judgment zone. Yeah. You know, bring it all in. Tell me every last detail and I will hold space for it.
Yeah.
So friendships, there's a friendship theory about how close friendships can act as an extension, like past therapy. You know, therapy is great, but to like have that consistent level of support is friendship therapy.
Yeah.
So lovely, right?
I really love that.
A 2021 study found that having a supportive female friend group can increase resilience after trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Every single thing I'm saying blows my mind.
Well, I don't know. For me, it's such a lived experience. Like, I don't think that I would be where I am post-divorce without my female friendships. And it really did. Like, I navigated through a very traumatic experience because of you and all of my friends who just were like, no, man, we got you.
Yeah.
We're like right behind you. It's okay. You're not going to sink into this sinkhole.
Yeah. I love that. And I feel like that in our world, they often try to pit women against each other too. So it
makes that's what I wanted to really talk about. You're giving me some amazing statistics. I don't want to cut you off.
No.
But I do want to talk about some real tea right now.
Give it.
which is that like all of this is true and the benefits are there. And yet we do sometimes like look at each other like competition. There's for as
not,
many,
not us, not you.
No, not the two
women.
But for as many like strong female friendships that are out there, you're still seeing women tearing each other down too.
Right.
I mean, let's really think about why that is and what we can do to shift that in ourselves, even if we're not actively tearing someone down. I think that we all still hold a belief because we it's a man's world.
It's a man's world.
That we, I'm going to buy you some voice lessons and then take them myself too. Okay. That we, see, like I just tore you down. I could have just supported you. Bean, that was beautiful. Thank you for having the courage to sing on this podcast.
I laughed because I thought you told a funny joke. And I was like, she is so funny.
And you've encouraged my comedy. But we really do believe, and I want you to like really, if I'm, you're hearing my words, like take a moment of pause for self-reflection and self-awareness here. Where in your system do you hold on to the belief that there is only so much to go around? And if someone else has it, you might not. If that belief exists in you, even in the slightest way, and you're female or identify as female, then you probably feel that way about other females even more, because we've been conditioned that like there's only so much success for women. There's only so much that we can achieve. And we sometimes see each other as getting in the way of that. And so I really think that that's part of why we can be so judgy and like bitchy to women that we don't know, because we somehow see them as like coming after the thing we want.
So how are you supposed to shift that mentality?
Well, I think being aware that it exists in you, okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that listening to an episode like this and being like, oh yeah, that's, you know, I'm amazing. I love all my friends. I don't have any part of me that, right. that can reject other women is just probably not true. I think that there's always a part of us that because of conditioning can reject other women. I think we have to be aware of it. And I think we have to look at where we do it, even in the most unspoken or subtle or unconscious ways. Like, you know, if you're sitting in a restaurant and some bitch is just like coming in there, like just buffed.
Why is she right? Like, a bitch?
No, I'm saying this now in a good way. Okay. Like she's hair done, makeup on point, outfit on point. Like, is there a part of you that has a negative thought about that? Like, oh,
right.
She just really like, look at this place. Like, why is she so over the top?
Right.
Or does she really need to dress like that? Or, you know, like whatever criticism exists in your mind, just be aware that you're doing that out of this, you know, theory that just because she's gorgeous and beautiful, you can't be, or just because she has something that you want, you can't have it. I think that awareness is key. And then you shift the way that you look at women, and that energy, you know, the unspoken part of the energy speaks for itself. Like if we can see each other and people we don't know, women we don't know, still celebrate them and be hype girls for women when they're just, you know, living in their confidence and their truth and their higher self. Like if we can learn to take anything that's like envy or judgment and shift it into celebration, then we can start to change this pitting against each other thing.
I love that. And I feel like we need to teach our younger generation that now too. I kind of feel like they're not being raised in the same way we were though, with this pitting against one another. I feel like there's more of a support level, right? There is. Yeah. I'm not making that up.
I find myself in a funny situation though, where like with my daughter's female friendships, you know, teenage girls are acting things out to figure themselves out. And they also have bought into the scarcity mindset for sure. And I notice with Raina, like if she's ever left out or it's like, I can't explain why the girls aren't being inclusive. I do tend to go towards like, there must be envy there.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I
do. So what are you supposed to say though? I mean, I get it. I think I have that problem.
I don't know. I'm still working this out. Like, how do I help my daughter be a supporter of all women in a context where she's not being supported by women? But also, how do I help her understand that this is a dynamic? Like if you're feeling yourself being ostracized or shut out, like there might be some envy going on around whatever like that you have. And so I don't know. It's interesting. I think that I will say part of what I've cracked in this code is to just teach her to notice it in herself if she's feeling jealous, and to reframe it like, oh, this envy is just about something I want. So if I celebrate it in this person, then it's more likely to be available to both of us.
I love that. What a great way, what a great tip to end the show on is how to apply it to your children.
Yeah.
Our daughters.
Because we have to raise both our boys and our girls to be changing all of these dynamics. We need our boys to actually be able to have, I told you this before, like our sons say, I love you to each other. They hug, they say, I love you to their friends. Nice. Yeah.
Yes, that is so beautiful.
I think we need to keep doubling down on it with both sides.
Yeah, you're right. Encouraging the boys also to open up more and feel no shame in having emotion with their friends.
Listen, I know you love your statistics, so I just want to make sure there's not one that you really wanted to say that's going to be the cherry on top of this best friend Sunday.
Let me look through. Friendship dates should be as non-negotiable as romantic relationships. I will say I go out a lot with my friends, but I agree. I think people don't make enough time for their friends.
I have to say, like, the amount of time you and I spend together over the last year and a half has been so important to my mental health.
Me too. Because even though we've been friends forever, we didn't see each other a lot.
No. And we live across the country and we see each other more now than we did when we lived 3 hours driving distance from each other.
What a goddamn treat it is. And what a goddamn treat you are.
Bean, thank you for like really having us pause and just honor the value of female friendships.
Thank you.
Because
really
I think that we can take them for granted sometimes. So it's nice to know that there is a science behind it that tells us that we will be healthier, less depressed, more resilient if we lean into these relationships and support one another and cheerlead one another. And also, even the women you don't know, find a way to celebrate them too.
And maybe use some of these tips to sort of look around your circle and see who you really makes you feel that way and you make feel that way, and understand the value of those friendships over some more superficial ones.
And text those bitches right now and say, I am so grateful for you.
I love you. I love you. I love you, buddy.
Buddy, best being bud.
I love you, champ.
All right, champ. That was a really, really great episode. Thank you, Bean. Guys, thank you for listening. Remember, we'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of Signal. Until then, take care of yourselves. Bye.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted and produced by myself, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Bushka, and is edited by our sound editor, Josie Barak. Stay tuned next week for another episode.